every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you. Thanks for tuning in. It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
I talk to the tree, stop and hear what I say.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, 8 o'clock. It's the Outdoor Living Hour of Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition since 1988. And if you follow along in our home maintenance calendar, you know we are talking trees today. We always do it the second Saturday of the month. And we've got Sarah Maitland, ISA Certified Arborist with Save a Tree in studio. Good morning, Sarah. Welcome back.
Good morning.
And why don't you introduce you to guests who you've brought with you?
Yes, I brought a very important person. This is Amy Esposito, and she's the Executive Director of Trees Matter.
Yeah, thank you for having me today. I'm so glad to be here.
And trees do matter, which is why we talk trees every month. And you guys always bring in a tree of the month. Let's start there.
Sure. So our tree of the month this year is the Ulmus parvifolia, and it's parvifolia because it's little leaf, but it's actually the Chinese evergreen elm.
And, which is a beautiful tree.
Oh, yeah. I got a picture right here. Isn't that nice? They grow really nice here in the valley as a residential street tree or in a yard. They are fast growing and maybe up to 40 to 60 feet. The thing I love the most about them is they've got this really gorgeous umbrella-shaped canopy, and they have a beautiful bark. They are semi-deciduous, so they'll lose their leaves a little bit in the winter based on how much cold we get, but they have a beautiful, beautiful bark.
And that Chinese elm, the trunk, though, I mean, for a 60-foot tree, their trunks aren't all that big.
No, they're not. They're not. It's mostly canopy. It's kind of just like an umbrella, you know, a skinny little trunk. And they're always usually standard single and a nice big canopy. They started blooming actually this summer. So they're a little bit different than a lot of trees in blooming in the spring when they bloom in the summer. So they finished their blooming. They're already getting their little tiny seeds, which are called Samara, I think. No, they're not. What's the name of it? Anyway. I had it written down here. Anyway, there's a little tiny seed that's like a single oval-shaped little thing, and they just become confetti all over the parking lots. But the bark is the most special thing about them.
And so what color is that confetti from the bloom? Is that a white bloom on the elm?
Well, the confetti is the seed pod. Mm-hmm. So it'll be just a little pale, light brown color. And it just kind of goes all over. The blooms are really insignificant where you don't hardly see them, and it's not like a show. But the seed pods are a little bit messy. But they are a little bit susceptible to Texas root rot. We've got a whole grove of them right outside our Save a Tree office, and two of them started to decline. It was John Eisenhower who said we better do some testing. And I excavated them, found some circling roots, and thought that was the reason for the decline. But the pathology testing came back Texas root rot. And what we did, though, and I did a little research and I've done it in the past, was we added organic matter and a pH reducer and tried to change that environment. So Texas root rot is something that becomes active at a certain time where the environment is perfect.
But it's treatable.
Well, it isn't treatable, but we've stopped the decline because it stopped at two trees, and we haven't seen the other six go. So I'm hoping that we made a difference.
The Chinese elm, that is your tree of the month, and you can see pictures and get a link to ASU's resource on our website. If you go to rosieonthehouse.com and the quick links on the homepage, just click on the Chinese elm and it'll take you to...
It is a Samara. I had it right.
There's name of the seed?
Yeah, and it's got a lot of different varieties, and a lot of them are really some I've never even heard of. But if they're vegetatively reproduced, which most of them are here in the valley, you have to keep them pruned, especially at an early age. I've seen a lot of Chinese elms that just don't do well if they're deep in the soil. So root collar excavation to correct your roots, expose your trunk flare, make sure you're planting the right level, they just take off and grow.
I have one in my backyard and I just love it. So, and it does drop those seeds and they're so pretty. They'll even reseed a little bit, but they're not like other trees where they're super invasive. But you could repot them probably.
Now in the Midwest, they are the Siberian, which is real similar, is considered invasive. But this is a beautiful tree. And I really encourage everybody to go planting trees.
And a big part of the reason you brought Amy from Trees Matter in is you wanted to talk about the tree canopy.
Yes.
That's a great tree to be talking canopy this month.
Well, I tell you, Amy, Trees Matter, their statement is to inspire and promote increased tree canopy in the valley. So they work with a lot of different things. They are the implementator of the SRP tree planting classes. And Amy, you want to talk a little bit about how you guys are encouraging tree canopies?
Yeah, definitely. So we work with SRP for their free shade tree program. And during the pandemic, we switched to a webinar format and we teach both in Spanish and English simultaneously about how to plant a tree, how to select the six varieties we give out, which are low water use drought-tolerant trees that do well here in the valley. And then we also talk about proper watering, what you were talking about with the proper root or the proper trunk depth, making sure that trees are planted slightly above grade. That will prevent so many trees from struggling long-term. And so we're hoping to prevent a lot of issues that happen during our monsoons when trees, fail due to bad watering practices and planting trees too deep. So that's a big thing for us. We also have an Ask an Arborist Facebook group where we talk about people can post pictures and stuff on there. And then we have a Trees for Schools program where we work with kids and we plant trees and do tree activities. And we have an urban food forest program. So we try to connect people to trees through the function of food that they can provide.
And you guys recently had an event, pancake dinner, mesquite pancake dinner. Tell me about
that. Yeah, so we did breakfast for dinner. Everyone loves breakfast for dinner. And so every year we do an annual mesquite pancake breakfast. And the last few years we've done breakfast for dinner. We worked with Snooze Town and Country, who's amazing. And we had we basically take mesquite pods. When they're ground up, they make a flour. And so we took that flour and combined it with another flour because it is a bean flour. And we get people to taste mesquite for the first time, and they love the pancakes. It's a great way to introduce people to mesquites because a lot of times we look at those pods, we say, what a mess. But actually, they're edible, and you can eat them.
Now, we don't like to talk about everything people just missed. You know, this event was a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
When's the next one?
Well, it's next year in October, but we have events year-round, and we're hoping to get back our food forest events, do more engagement around getting people. So I was talking about earlier before we started that a Palo Verde tree is one you don't think about that provides food. In the spring, they have green pods that you can just pick off and steam like edamame. So there's so many things that you don't think about.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I never even thought about that.
Yeah, so it's not just our traditional trees. And then in my backyard, I have a mission fig. They've adapted pretty well to our climate. They're not a low water use like a Palo Verde. And a pomegranate is also a Mediterranean tree. So we've got a lot of fun trees. We actually have a recipe book on our website as well.
Which is treesmatter.org.
Yes.
And while you're there, you could sign up for newsletter and get reminders. And as events publish, I've been on that mailing list I think since y'all transition from the Permaculture Alliance to trees.
Yes.
I think my email just stayed in the system as it changed over.
Yeah, well, we're so glad that you're still on our newsletter. And it's also a great way to learn about volunteer opportunities because we can't do all the events we do without our amazing volunteers.
And the other thing that I saw on your website, and Rosie on the House will have that on the website this week, it's tree owner. There's all kinds of different topics and related brochures, benefits of trees, choosing trees, managing hazards, plant health care, all kinds of different printouts that will tell you all kinds of things about trees.
Right. And a lot of those come from ISA.
Yes.
Which is an amazing group. They're the ones that International Society of Arboriculture that make sure that our arborists are trained and have what they need. And Sarah and I are very well affiliated with them.
Yeah, and that's why you come to Save a Tree, is to get a certified arborist that's educated and knows trees and the science and the art of pruning.
And like any good program, it's not a one-time certification. I mean, an arborist has to stay active, and there's credits and learning and additional resources. It's a constant learning. You don't
Correct.
Just get certified there, you're done.
There's continuing education that needs to be done, and we have several certified arborists with us. We have certified arborists on our crews that are quite intelligent and quite educated and skilled, highly skilled. But there's all kinds of CEUs that we have to do. Save a Tree has a learning program, so each one is encouraged to go to the next step and learn the next skill. So.
Wonderful. Well, we've got a lot of to-dos on our tree agenda here, and we'll get to those after the break. Talking about pruning, we've got fall fertilizing, what to trim, what not to trim. You've got some points about shrubs and fall fertilizing. So We're not done talking trees. It's Rosie on the House. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. Text questions can be sent to 411-923. Or if you need help with a little plant or insect identification, you can snap a picture and email that to us at info@rosieonthehouse.com.